We do thank Gillian for playing for us today. We do appreciate that. Isaiah 35. Wonderful gospel promises here. We have in verse 4 the great words, "He will come and save you." What tremendous words those are. But I want to direct your attention to verse 8. "And an highway shall be there, and a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those, the wayfaring men, though fools, shall not err therein." Let us look to the Lord in prayer, please. Our Father in heaven, as we turn now to thy precious word, how we thank thee again that the whole scripture speaks of Christ. Even here, Isaiah writing so long before he was born. Oh, we thank thee he spoke of the Saviour. And Lord, this evening we thank thee we can look back to Calvary and think of our Lord and Saviour. Help us tonight as we consider Christ, for it's in his name we'd ask it. Amen. Well, the campaign is in full swing. The leaflets were given out some time ago about the campaign around our churches. And then the billboards have gone up. I'm sure you've seen them, and some people I know have been counting them round the places and so on. I saw some this morning going into Belfast early in the morning to be in Sunday sequence for 8:15, and had the opportunity and privilege of saying a little bit on the Sunday sequence at 8:30 with William Crawley, and he was very good to me. He didn't give me too many awkward questions at all, if any. But we had an opportunity to speak about the campaign, why the church launched it, to uplift the Lord Jesus Christ, not to promote a denomination. As I said to him, it's quite evident if you look at the literature, it's all about Christ. It's lifting him up and honouring him. Just by the way, for your own information, before the interview, William was talking to me there, just taking sound levels. He went over what you hear when you tune into the programme. He practiced it and read it out and said, "Excuse me, I just want to get sound levels ready," and so on. And he said he noticed that our literature was printed by the revival movement. It used to be every home crusade. And he said, "I was very impressed. I was round seeing this their new building. And they, in fact, I have a program coming on soon where they're going to be featured towards the end of the program." And he started to tell me all about them. And there's so many millions of literature they send out every year. And he told me he's very, very impressed with the work that they do and how around the world literature goes out. But it's an opportunity to speak of this campaign. And then this morning, of course, Reverend Samuel Murray from Tandragee had the privilege of preaching the radio broadcast. And again, he was enabled to mention the campaign and to preach a gospel message over the radio of the Lord Jesus Christ, the way, the truth, and the life. "What think ye of Christ?" was the text that he took. Now the campaign, as I say, in full swing. The billboards will be up for just another few days. And then on the 21st of the month, there are 1,000 adverts going to be on buses. That's outside the buses and inside the buses as well. So when people are just noticing the billboards aren't there anymore, then hopefully they'll stop and see them on the buses and recognize the thought again. Consider Christ, only Savior, now and forever. That's the message. The message of the leaflet and the message on some of the billboards too, of course, is that Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." In a world without direction, Christ is the way. In a world without certainty, Christ is the truth. In a world without hope, Christ is the life. Well, last Sunday night we took the words of the campaign, "Consider Christ." We showed in the book of Hebrews there are 3 times that little expression occurs. Consider him. Consider him. His authority, his ability, his atonement. Now tonight I want to take another word or phrase out of the campaign, where Jesus said, "I am the way." Now, I know that some time ago we did speak on that when we took the I Ams of Christ, some of which are depicted on the windows here in our church building. But we're going to take it from the Old Testament this time, setting forth that the Lord Jesus Christ is the way. And that's why we're turning to this text in Isaiah 35, where it speaks about a highway and a way. Now, Isaiah is a prophetic book. Isaiah was a prophet that lived, about 700 years before the Lord Jesus Christ was born. Now, it is a prophetic book because he writes graphically, in detail, about the coming Saviour's birth. He says he'll be born of the Virgin. They shall call his name Emmanuel. He'll be the Prince of Peace, and so on. Passages we usually read at Christmas time. He not only predicted or prophesied Christ's birth, but he spoke about Messiah's life. He actually wrote how he would be despised and rejected of men. He wrote how he would be the servant. He wrote how they would pluck the very hair from off his face. How he would bear his back to those who smote him. Bear his back to the smiters is the way it's worded. It told how men would spit in his face. And of course that happened to the Saviour. The Roman soldier spat in his face, and so did the religious leaders. It's amazing the prophecies about his life and then about his death. Oh, Isaiah 53. It's as if the writer is sitting at the foot of Calvary and describing how he was wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities. It's a tremendous prophetic book. And then it prophesies his burial, that he would be buried in a grave where there'd never been a body before, and he'd be buried with a rich. It was a rich man's grave, of course, that was given for the Saviour's body. Exact prophecies. And then it prophesied his resurrection. Isaiah 53 talks about him being raised, seen of the travail of a soul. How wonderful. Written 700 years before. Do you know there was a time some years ago when there were liberals, modernists? And of course there are many of them. If you listen to Sunday sequence, a lot of them are usually on it. There's some ridiculous debate this morning about Paul being a misogynist, that is a woman hater and so on, and complete nonsense talk this morning. And there were those liberals towards the end of the 1800s, and they said, oh no, Isaiah is not really a prophet. It was written hundreds of years later. Hundreds of years later. And actually there are two writers, and neither of them were Isaiah. That's what they used to teach in some theological colleges. But then you may know that in 1947, in a cave near the Dead Sea, Qumran, a young shepherd boy was chasing his goats. He threw a stone into a cave thinking any goats would be in there, and he heard a pot break. And they found what's known as the Dead Sea Scrolls. Copies of Old Testament portions. And of course, all the archaeologists, when they looked at the parchment, says those are hundreds of years old. And you know something? Isaiah wasn't one scroll. It wasn't in two different scrolls by two different people. They found ancient copies that were hundreds of years old. Of course, the liberals again have been proved wrong. It's so much simpler just to believe the word, isn't it? Isaiah wrote it under inspiration of God. And I'm saying it's a wonderful prophetic book. It's also a book, if you're studying, about wonderful titles of Christ. Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Study him, many, many other titles in the book. And I want to come to this one this evening about the highway. It's in our passage here, the highway, in verse 8, a highway or a way. Christ is the highway, he's the road. Recently in Newton Ars, just a few months, we've got the new road opened, the Link Road. And people visiting me, if they've gone on, they say, boy, that's a great road. It's great now you can go on that road. Some people tell me it's quicker still to go through the town, but we'll leave that if it's a busy time. But we've got the new Link Road opened. And we all know what roads are like. A link road is a road that's easy to travel on. It's not like a windy road and you wonder, do you go right or left? And it's straight in the sense of it's not easy to go off it. You know what way the road's going. Roads are an interesting study. The Romans, of course, were great road builders. I've never been in that part of Italy, but there's remains of what's called the Appian Way that began about 300 years before Christ was born. And the Romans began to lay that road that stretched for miles and miles, and the experts tell you how they did it with the small stones and bigger stones. They say that in some of the remains that are still there, that you couldn't put a knife between the cobblestones. Some are so well fitted in. And that road, they built it for their army, so that from Rome they could spread out and conquer nations. Of course, you get the expression, all roads lead to Rome. That's where it came from. The Romans were great road builders. And the Appian Way is probably the most ancient and famous road. Spartacus, the leader of the slave revolt, 70 years before Christ, he and 6,000 other slaves were crucified along many of the miles of the Appian Way. That's a historical fact. When the slave revolt was crushed by the Roman authorities. It's a very famous road. Of course, if you go to parts of England, I haven't seen it, but they tell us you can see the remains of the Roman road. Roads that they built when they came to Britain. That's one of the first things they did, was to build straight roads. But those roads, you just go and see the ruins. That's all. You can see the ruins of the road, here and there, little sections of the stone. But thank God there's a highway that is still ever new. And it's still open. The highway that the Lord Jesus Christ made. Now, first of all, in this text, notice Isaiah predicted this road, this highway. Now, Isaiah was living in difficult days. The nation was about to go into captivity. The Assyrians were going to come, take away the people, most of them. Later on, in a few years, they go to Babylon, and they're there for 70 years. Some northern tribes, they, of course, were carried to Assyria, and so on. If you know the history about what happened. So they're facing difficult times. And Isaiah's writing and saying, look, there's a word of comfort. God hasn't forgotten about you. You know, in chapter 40, he foretold the coming of John the Baptist, prepare ye the way of the Lord. And he's speaking about the coming day. And he says in verse 4, he will come and save you. These are gospel promises. Verse 5, we're thinking of the prediction of the coming of Christ, the Messiah. Then, when he comes, the eyes of the blind shall be open. He's thinking of the day when Messiah came and the deaf, their ears were unstopped. You know, when the Lord Jesus Christ came into the world, what did he do to the blind? Some of them he touched their eyes, others he just spoke and their eyes were opened. Those who were deaf, he healed them. This is a prophecy of Christ. What happens when a person comes to know Christ? He opens our blinded eyes, spiritually. He causes our ears to hear. Maybe we heard the gospel years before we responded. But oh, for the day when the Lord Jesus Christ came to you personally. And he opened your eyes. And he opened your ears. Look what happened in verse 6. Then the lame man shall leap as a hart. That's a deer. And the dumb sing. This is, of course, another picture here of the gospel blessing. The Lord did it, actually, when he came. Those are the signs of the Messiah. He performed these miracles that identified him, that he was the one of whom Isaiah wrote. But of course, there's a spiritual application here. Everywhere the Savior went, there was joy when he healed the sick, caused the dumb to speak. But oh, when you're saved, he comes and he causes you to leap for joy and to have a song upon your lips. Look at verse 6. The wilderness, in the wilderness shall waters break out and streams in the desert. Some of you may have a daily reading book called that, Streams in the Desert. They named it after this verse. What does water represent? The Holy Spirit. Blessing. Why, before you're saved, your life is dry. It's barren. It's like the desert. But oh, the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, when he came into this world, that's what his coming was like, into the deadness and barrenness of the Jewish religion at that time that had become formality. He brought joy. But oh, remember Christ said in John 7:37, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. And he went on to say, for out of his innermost being, out of his belly, shall flow rivers of living water. That's what the verse is saying. He's predicting a day when the Saviour will come and will know that blessing, that pool of water, verse 7. You know, sometimes people see a mirage in the desert. There's nothing really there. That's what life without Christ is like, a mirage. No reality. But here is the wonderful blessing. Verse 7 is interesting, where it goes on to say a habitation of dragons. Well, like I said, picturing a frightening situation. How many testimonies, maybe of people captivated by drink or drugs, might I tell you, as if it was a frightening, dark, dark, horrible place to be in. Of course, Satan's called the old dragon in Scripture, isn't it? And it's saying here, when Messiah comes, might there be that liberty. What's the saying here? It's saying, when Messiah comes, I believe Isaiah is predicting salvation, what it means to be saved. Christ, our blinded eyes have been opened, our lame feet have been healed, our deaf ears have been unstopped, the dry land has become well watered, and the devil, who had us under his control, he's chased away, and Christ comes. There's no doubt the way is predicted. It's a person. But I want you to think about the highway provided. Because in the fullness of time, Isaiah's prophecy came true. Because his verse over in Isaiah 7, verse 14, about the virgin shall conceive, bring forth a child, it happened at Bethlehem. And the Saviour came, and he provided this road. He built, as it were, a highway to heaven. Because he himself is the highway. In who he is, I am the way. You see, other religions say, this is the way. Follow that way. That's what Muhammadism says. That's what other religions say. Look, here's the way. Do the best you can. Muhammad said, I'm only a man like yourselves. Here's how to live your life. But the Lord Jesus Christ said, I am the way. I am the way. He is the road. He's the way to heaven because of who he is. There are only two ways that people... Oh, yes. People say, well, there's lots of different ways. You know how they say, well, as long as you've got religion, it doesn't matter. As long as you believe something. No, no, no. There's basically only two ways. You've heard me saying this before. There's basically only two ways. A right way and a wrong way. A right way and a wrong way. You can all the different isms and religions and so on, and they all say, do the best you can. You try and live a good life. You follow the rituals of your particular religion, be it Christianity, be it whatever, and you do the best. And there's a religion that says Jesus Christ is the way. He's done it all. There's basically only two. Although in schools they have study of comparative religions, but that's basically it. The faith of Scripture that says salvation is in Christ and Christ alone. Now, Satan can disguise his different roads that I'm saying are false, leads to a wrong destination. Remember, it says in Matthew 7, I think it's around about verse 13, many shall go on the broad road. Many think it's all right, they'll end up in heaven, but they won't. They won't, because they're not on the right road. But the Lord Jesus Christ is the way. He personally, how did he do it? Hebrews 10:20. It says we can come to heaven right into the very presence of God, listen, by a new and living way, which he has consecrated through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. The Lord Jesus Christ, he has provided the way. Because in Calvary, he gave the body that God the Father had prepared for him, a body that's prepared for me, Psalm 40. And there in Calvary, he became the atonement. He became the substitute. He suffered in the place of his people. He took their debt of their sins. And he cried, it's finished. And thank God the road was completed. He is the road. The work was finished. We can come to God. When you enter a road, you want to go somewhere. Well, you get on the road and you travel, get you. Well, the picture here is, and God's explaining to us in simple language so that we can understand that salvation is like that. But it's not a literal road, and it's not a road where you have to try and do your best. No, Christ himself, you come to Christ, He is the road, and he's opened up heaven for you. You know, they talk about this road costs so many million. Have you ever been on the stretch of new motorway or road, even in our own province, and with a big sign up, EEC or government money, so many millions? They say that Napoleon built a famous road in the early 1800s, paid 15 million francs. I don't know what that would be in our money. And he built a road to transport his cannon for the devastation of Italy. He did come, remember, and attacked Italy, attacked other countries. But he built a road. There had to be a road built for his heavy cannon. So he ordered tens of thousands of people to start building a road so that he could bring his cannon for the invasion of Italy. And history says it costs so much. Thank God the Lord Jesus Christ, he built the greatest road, not for devastation, but for salvation. And it cost more than money, for it cost his own precious blood. Isaiah predicted there would be a highway. And then you have here the Lord Jesus Christ, He provided it when he gave his life on Calvary. And now we can walk on this heavenly highway. But I want you to think about the people who are on it. It says in verse 8, and the highway shall be there, and the way. And it goes on to speak about the unclean shall not pass over. It speaks about a wayfaring man. You know, the word highway, most commentators feel, refers to a royal road. Do you know in those days there were special roads built for a king? And that road would be higher than other roads. It would be kept clear, weeds and so on kept off it. It would be kept in repair because if the king was coming, that's the road he would travel on. That's the king's highway. Other people were not allowed on it. That was reserved for the king. But here's a road that people can walk on it. And people can get onto this road. Who are the people? Well, they're ordinary people, but in verse 9, they're people, the redeemed, shall walk there. Verse 10, and the ransomed. Who is on this road? Those who have been redeemed. Those who know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. Have you been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb? Are you on this road? Have you come through Christ? Notice some things about this road and about the people who are on it. It's a highway of holiness in verse 8. The unclean shall not pass over it. Now we know that of ourselves we're not clean. We are all an unclean thing. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Isaiah said later in the book, all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, even our goodness. Ah, but thank God the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses from all sin. Thank God for the righteousness that's in Christ. Who are the people going this road? Those who have been redeemed. Those who have received the righteousness of Christ. Thank God it's a highway of happiness. In verse 10, we sang a similar verse. It speaks about singing and everlasting joy upon their heads. This is the pilgrims going home and they're singing. Now, it's not often when you're walking on a road or traveling, people are singing, but they're so happy. Happy to be in this road, the breakout in singing and in joy, and that's the Christian life being described here. It's a happy life, true happiness, true joy. It's a harmless way, or if you like, a safe way in verse 9. No lion shall be there, nor any ravenous beast. The idea of ravenous is a violent, a murderer. You know, there's some roads are very dangerous to travel. I remember in New Guinea, it's a road actually I was never on, but they used to say the road from Port Moresby, the main town up into the highlands where most people lived, was very dangerous because such a steep slope that they used to have the gangs, when the big lorries were going up, they'd jump on the back of the lorry and start throwing stuff off because they just had to crawl along. So it was very dangerous. But there are no hijackers in this road. There are no thieves in this road. There's no one or nothing can do you any harm in this road. You're safe. When you come to Christ, you're kept by the power of God. No one will take you off this road. I was thinking about the longest road. The longest road in the world is said to be the Pan-American Highway. They say it begins in Alaska, and it passes through Canada, the United States, Central America, if you know, can think of the map, Mexico, down the west coast of South America, Brazil, Chile. They say it passes through 12 countries, 16,000 miles long. So if you have to drive into Belfast tomorrow, it's just a wee doddle, isn't it? 16,000 miles long, the longest road, they say, in the world. But there's a longer road in the sense, look, this is a highway to heaven. You think of the distance of the third heaven, who can measure it? See, the Bible speaks about the heaven we see. Then it speaks about the heavens out there, the stars, the moon, planets, etc., etc. But then the Bible says there's a third heaven where God dwells. And the Lord Jesus Christ is the way from our earth, we sinners, all the way into the presence of a holy God. When you come to Christ, the distance is covered. The distance is covered. It brings us to heaven. One of these days, we'll walk the last mile of the road, as it were, and we'll be home. We'll be home in heaven. Now, you say, well, how can I get on this road? How can I become one of these people? Well, I love verse 8 in our text. It shall be for those, the wayfaring man, no fool, shall not err therein. Thank God, it's not complicated. It's not complicated. You don't have to pay to get on it. If any of you travel over to Wales or whatever, I go now and again to see my daughter there, and you have to go down the toll road. You have to have your euros with you. I think it's up to 180 or whatever it is. You pay more if you want to go the tunnel. I think it's about 9 euro. And if you don't have your euros with you, they'll not let you through. But thank God you don't have to pay to get on this road. You don't have to pay. And it says, even though you might not have much intelligence as men would regard it. And I'm reminded of the verse in Matthew 11 where the Lord said to the crowd of religious leaders, he prayed and he said, I thank you, Father, that thou wast revealed this unto babes. See, sometimes those who think themselves so smart miss it. They miss the simplicity of faith in Christ. The simplicity. You come to Christ. There's no need to err. The word means to wander, to go astray, to stagger, to stumble. You don't have to do that. Sometimes, have you ever been trying to get on some of these spaghetti junctions? If you travel in England or somewhere and you're wondering, now which turn, how do you get on? You might get on the wrong way and end up about 20 miles down the motorway the wrong way before you can get off again. No, it's not like that. It's clearly marked. Clearly marked. This is the way. He's the way. That's why this Consider Christ campaign, to get people to stop and consider Christ, that He is the way, the truth, and the life. Oh yes, there's a way that seemeth right unto men, but the ends are all for the way of death. But the way is clear. Predicted highway. Isaiah said, don't be discouraged. One day there's going to be a great highway, a highway of holiness. The way was provided by Christ. The people who are on it, are you on it? One very last, just brief thought, the proclamation about the way. It's our duty as a church to proclaim the way. To say to people, here's the road to heaven. You know how sometimes you're out and somebody will stop and ask you for directions? How do you get to such and such a place? Where's this road? Where's that road? Well, it's our duty as a church and as individual Christians to say to men and women, here's the road to heaven. Here's the road to eternal life. Here's the way to go in the person of Christ. Don't try those other ways. They'll not lead you there. Oh, it might claim to. And the false signposts up. But don't you go down that way because it'll end in death. But here's the way. Come to Christ. Come to Christ. And do you know in the book of Acts, chapter 9, do you remember Saul was out persecuting the church, putting them to death, putting them in prison? Do you know what it says, Saul, why he went to Damascus? To persecute, listen, those of the way. Do you know believers hadn't been called Christians at that time? We take that term for granted today. It's only mentioned three times in Scripture. But Paul was looking for people who were of the way. That's how the new Christians in those days. Are you on the way? It must have been because these people were always talking about to their friends and neighbours, Christ is the way, Christ is the way, Christ is the way. And so Saul went out to seek those who were of the way, to put them to death. And then in Acts 19 verse 9, Saul was preaching. And you know what it says about some people that heard him? The gospel invitation. They believed not, but spake evil of that way. Paul was preaching about the way. Christ, the way. That's what we're to do. And isn't it good that that motto has been taken for the campaign? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And so it's our duty to proclaim Jesus Christ is the only way. The only way. He said it. He opened that way with his own precious blood. And he will take us all the way from earth to heaven. How sad. There were those in Acts 19 who maligned the way, who publicly criticized it, who attacked it. But our duty is still to call people to the way. May God bless these billboards, the bus adverts, the tracks. May God give us opportunity to speak to people. And may they come to see that Jesus Christ is the way. But are you walking on this highway of holiness? Are you on the right road? Are you in Christ? That's the question. Hymn number 200.